Welcome to the Norris Group's Real Estate Radio Show. Hosted by author, investor, hard money lender, and real estate educator, Bruce Norris. Equipping California real estate professionals for tomorrow's challenges.
Hi, thank you for joining us. My name is Bruce Norris, and today our special guest is Ward Hannigan. Ward is a full-time foreclosure specialist and trainer located in San Diego County. He brings you over 30 years of real estate experience with a degree in economics and a doctorate in law. He has worked in California's foreclosure market exclusively since 1982. And as a consequence, he has extensive experience finding cash, researching title, handling evictions, rehabbing, reselling, working as a foreclosure consultant for lenders, handling their REO turnarounds and rollovers. And as a one-on-one trainer and mentor, he's trained some of the most successful foreclosure practitioners in the Western United States. Ward, we welcome you again to our show.
Well, thanks for having me.
My pleasure. I looked at your mission statement, and under that, there was a set of values, and I'm going to talk a little bit about that first. First one was be uncompromisingly truthful. You're teaching foreclosure specialists, and the first one on your list is be uncompromisingly truthful. That seems to be, it doesn't seem
an
like
oxymoron.
An oxymoron, that's right.
Well, in what way would you be untruthful in the foreclosure business? I don't see any difference in that than if I was delivering bread.
You know what? It's because of who you have decided to be. I know this about you, and I know this is part of what would occur. Part of being uncompromisingly truthful is that if you and I were in an investment and you found out there was something that was bad news, it would travel as quickly as good news.
No, faster.
Faster, okay.
Absolutely faster. And it's not because I'm such a goody-two-shoes. You know, it's basically for my own peace of mind. I knew that very, very, very in the early days of my career, when I was embarrassed to admit to an investor that things were not working out as well as I had imagined, that I would just hold off and I'll make that call tomorrow to the investors, and then the next day and the next day, and then I really am paralyzed because I don't know how to explain to the investor why it took so long to tell him the bad news. And it just tears me up because I'm, you know, week after week after week, it's on my mind all the time. I got better things to do in my mind than play those kinds of dumb games.
It's also the only way to retain the respect of that investor, right?
Absolutely. Do you think he's going to come back? No.
Plus, you know what's interesting? I found that you and I probably have certainly consulted with people that are in the middle of a mess they've created, they haven't owned up to. And I know the first thing I tell them, I said, first thing, you have to talk to your investors like this afternoon, right away, next thing you do. I know it's going to be the hardest thing you've ever done, but because this guy has money, I guarantee you he's probably really going to go, first of all, he may go to disappointment, and then he's going to bombard this thing with solutions. That's what people with money do. Mm-hmm. And so unwittingly, you'll probably have the best advice coming from those people that took the risk with you.
That's correct.
And but sometimes, boy, we all know people that hide that stuff, you know, until it's too late and there is no solution. So never touch dishonest dollars.
Yes. I don't accept any kind of payoffs. I don't take anything under the table. I pay my taxes even though I make lots of money. And there's areas where I could probably hide some and this and that. Nope, we just are above board and do that. And again, that way I don't carry any negative baggage. I don't worry if I see a person in uniform coming up to my front door, you know, crap like that.
Is this possibly the day, huh?
Yeah, right.
There's an unintended or maybe intended benefit there. People that work with you, work for your company, observe this on a daily basis. Wouldn't you say that's had a very positive impact on how they feel that they get to work for your company?
Yes. In fact, I love it because at the end of a transaction, usually you're settling up, you got your final monies in, and usually I pay off something when I open up escrow and some reserves I might have, whatever, and then when escrow closes. And so, and also sometimes after I've closed escrow, I still don't know if I'm going to have some utility deposits come in 6 months later, you know, that kind of stuff.
Right.
And I just love it when it does because, you know, I get half of it, 50-50 profit split, but the other half goes back to them. And sometimes one of my junior investors might be getting, you know, $22 from me or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I just love paying those out months after the thing's over. Here they get $22 from Ward on a deal they've already forgotten about.
Yeah, but the impact is much larger.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. In fact, I've had people talk about them at a some sort of function. Maybe it's a real estate class somewhere, and I'm talking to somebody during break, and somebody might come up and say, "Hey, Ward, how you doing?" On. And the guy will look to the man I'm talking to and say, "You know something? This man is so honest that 9 months after the thing closed, he sent me $22 on something." You know, that's priceless.
It is priceless and actually well-deserved. So that's I just think not only are you the best trainer in the foreclosure world, but bringing that kind of character to the people and saying this is who you also have to be, to me is equally, if not more important, really is.
Yeah.
I actually hear this all the time, man. I wish I could give Ward a call and ask him this. I guess I know people do that a lot, and I actually have a question that somebody asked me to ask you, and I you know what? I think I'm going to ask it because I don't know. But I was first going to ask you, who does Ward Hennigan call when he's stumped?
Well, it's a fascinating question, and I've got a great answer. I purposely get on a first-name basis with the wise guys in my profession. And the wise guys in real estate, the ones that can either wave your deal through to a nice big payday or hold it up and you don't get anything, are the title officers in the title companies. So I'll call up a title company and ask the receptionist, who's the chief title officer, or in your company, is it called the senior title officer? She'll tell me. And so then I say, can you put me through? And they put me through. And then let's say the guy's name is, you know, Bob Jones. I say, Mr. Jones, I'm a customer of such and such title company, this title company. And I thought, you know, I ought to get to know somebody such as yourself who really knows more than I do about the real estate world because you've been in it, it's your baby, and stuff like that. And to get on a first name basis, I'd like to take you to lunch. Is that possible?
Mm-hmm.
And they go, well, yeah, sure. You know, they go like that. And so I take them to lunch. And that sets up a procedure I'll keep for years until that guy either retires, dies, or, you know, is fired or moved away or something. And I usually will call him up about once every 3 months and redo lunch. And I always pay, redo lunch. And at lunch, I never talk about the business. I purposely will not talk about some current problem I've got in real estate or this and that. It's always chit-chatting and getting to know them and enjoying them. I ask them, I love using me as a way of making questions easy. You know, and I'll say, you know, Bob, my favorite restaurant is blah, 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 barbecue joint or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
What's yours? Okay?
Right.
And if I'm searching for conversation, I'll say, you know, my favorite kind of movie is this. And I like a John Wayne Western or maybe whatever it is. I say, what's your favorite movie? And or my favorite place to vacation is here. Where do you go to vacation? And they'll always tell you their favorite. They don't think that's prying. They love talking. Wow, you just gave them a flag to come on in with a lot of stuff. Well, the last time we took traveling, you went to Easter Island. And then I really get interested. I said, you got to be kidding me. Is that the place where all those big, tall monoliths and all that kind of stuff, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Anyhow, so that's what I do when I'm having lunch with them. Then in between the lunch, okay, that's when I, during the day, business day, that's if I've got a problem, I'll call them up. And I'll ask them a problem that's usually an exception, something that doesn't happen too often. And but those guys have... The reason they're chief title officers is they've run into, they've been in the business so long that they know where all the gray areas are. So all the other TOs, the newer TOs, always call the chief title officer to settle a question about a potential problem and what should that TO do.
So you've made a friend of somebody that when you can pick up the phone actually may have the one way around what you're facing.
Oh, and they have saved me so much on some things that, you know, and no hesitation. They don't have to check with an attorney. You know, if you go to an attorney, they're always saying they got to check on it,
right.
They got to research. They got this man. Bull Taco, I need an answer this afternoon by 3 o'clock, you know?
And they may not have enough experience to know they found the answer. And that's,
right.
You know, so you got to have somebody that looks into their history of experience and goes, yeah, I've seen that before.
And I have these guys sometimes structure things for me. So I'll say, listen, I want to do this. And they say, well, that's a little bit dicey, Ward. And I said, well, yeah, I know, but it's not against the law, is it? No, no, no. I say, well, look, how would you want me to arrange it? What kind of paperwork? So when I come to you 4 months from now on my exit and I'm selling this property, I'm going to get the green light to go ahead. And he'll tell me exactly what he'll want me to have and have all my ducks in a row. So when I go through escrow, I'm not going to have any problems. By the way, I always go to the same title company. I show intense loyalty, by the way, and because I like loyalty. And so I will never, I insist, it's part of my offer. I make an offer, not only do I make an offer on terms and this, that, and the other, but I insist that the title company is my title company. And I insist escrow is my escrow. I won't do the deal. I'll blow it. I'll say, fine, keep your property. And yet I've never had anybody not back down, because I take it. I'm so loyal that I'm so insistent that they go, oh, well, is that important to you? Yeah.
Yeah, I've kind of experienced the same thing. And you know what? If people follow that business model, I mean, we probably are similar. I've used the same carpet guy for decades, the same painter for decades.
Rougher.
And you already know what to expect. You know, there becomes less and less surprises in business, and that's nice. I have this message on my...
You know what I do with... I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
But you know what I do with my subs, like you're just talking about?
Okay. What?
I have a breakfast club, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And this breakfast club, I just love the way it works all the time. I'll take my favorite subs. I'll say, let's go to breakfast on me. And you go, fine. So we go to a breakfast. And then I say, okay, now look, the next time it's on you. Okay? So we're going to go back and forth, back and forth. And we'll go to breakfast. And so nobody feels that it costs them money to, be allied with Ward Hannigan, because he's not a freeloader. He doesn't expect to have a free lunch every time just because, ooh, he's famous, you know, all that kind of stuff.
Okay, here's the question that is literally on my recorder I am not 100% sure how to answer it. So here it goes. When you flip a property, do you have to be a licensed agent to receive a fee? And if you don't, how do you do it?
No, I receive what kind of fee? In other words, if I'm not a principal in the transaction?
No, I've tied it up. I'm going to be the buyer and a right to assign it. Can I make a flip fee without a license?
Yes, you absolutely can. And California, there's even written statutory stuff on it. It's a finder's fee. So you can negotiate like crazy because you're a principal. You're buying the property, making an offer, and you get it in escrow.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're in escrow, then you can sell your opportunity to somebody else. You're not selling the, you know, in other words, you can make all the kinds of deal points you want on that property when you're doing it for yourself. If you're doing it for somebody else without a license, you cannot do that.
Correct. But you have tied it up. You are the buyer or an entity that you are 100% owner of. You can sell the opportunity. It's a finder's fee, and it's perfectly legal without a license.
Mm-hmm. That's correct.
Okay. Well, that
now,
just...
you can, yeah, you can, or another way of doing it is just do introductions. So, for example, Mr. A, please meet Mr. B. And doing that, California says... you're not negotiating, and they insist that you not negotiate any of the deal points in order to not run afoul of the law.
Okay.
Because they do require, if you're representing somebody, that you're going to need a real estate license.
I'll take it one step forward. Let's say I do a mailing campaign. I call a realtor and say, you know, I don't buy all of these things that I hear about. And I'd like to refer these to you. If I don't have a license, can I somehow get a finder's fee for what ultimately ends up being a commission for them?
Well, it could be the size of a commission, but it's still a sign. It's still, you know, the size of whatever you negotiate is just bargaining. And the fact that it happens to be the same as a real estate commission is immaterial.
But that's also can be legally done. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. I don't think everybody knows this.
Yeah.
I didn't.
I have. If you ever want, I had to make up because I have. You know, even when you train people in foreclosures and they're doing a deal and they just started out, oftentimes they'll run across a great foreclosure and they don't have the money to swing it, and so but they want to turn the deal over to somebody else. So I was asked a number of times by my trainees, hey, we have a contract that so I'm not on an oral basis with someone on a finder's fee, that I'm going to got a written agreement. And so I was asked a number of times to where I was motivated to make one up, draft one.
Okay.
And so I have it in a manual. So if you ever need one, something like that, just let me know.
I'm letting you know. I'd like to see it because then I can at least answer that question and say, Ward says this. I can say it with authority now. I didn't know, but Ward did, so that's good. You've taught a lot of people this business. What's the toughest spot you've ever helped a student out of?
Oh, when they made a mistake in buying a foreclosure and the deal's over, the blood's dried, and now they want to cancel the purchase after the trustee sale took place. That is one of the toughest things, and I've been fairly successful in coaching people how to do that, depending on the situation that they explain to me. But, yeah, I tell them the worst thing that you can do is do nothing. I mean... try it. If they get turn you down 9 times out of 10 and you have no way around it, well, fine. But that 1 time out of 10, they cancel the deal, you know, and whoa, now you didn't lose $80,000 or $90,000 and stuff like that.
Yeah, that's almost everybody has a story that they did something that they, and now it's interesting. I went speaking, I think it was day before yesterday, I went to speak somewhere and somebody came to me with a problem. They had bought a property online and they had hit one too many zeros. Their intentional bid was 42,000 or something like that. And they had hit the 420 grand. And it's a tax sale. And so the bid went up to 90,000 or 92,000 and then extra 100 was there. So they ended up being the winning bidder at 92,1 or something like that. So same type of thing. I think you may get a call on that one if you haven't already. When you got in the business, it was 1982 buying trustee sales?
Yes.
So that was a downturn. Very different crowd would probably have shown up at the trustee sales. How many participants were there back then?
Well, how many people do you need to represent a crowd? Because if it's only two or three, it wasn't a crowd.
Right. Okay. It was.
But I went down there. Honestly, even a newspaper article, I was interviewed once. I said, you know, there's more brain surgeons in San Diego County than there are guys who go down to the courthouse steps and bid on these foreclosures. And I'll tell you, we make a hell of a lot more money a year than brain surgeons. So, you know, why aren't there more people? It's basically because they don't know about it, and it takes a tremendous amount of background knowledge, and more than just foreclosures. You know, you need skills in picking the right people to rehab. You need skills to try to read the market. You need all these kinds of skills that is more than just standing there and saying $100 more, $100 more.
You know, doing it is one thing. How did you end up getting the bug to teach other people?
You know Jack Fullerton?
Yeah, he's the one that got me to talk in front of an audience first, too.
Yeah. But Jack Fullerton was up in Orange County, which, as far as I was concerned, was on the other side of the moon. I was making all kinds of deals here in San Diego and foreclosures. And I had a club down here, and I agreed every once in a while to participate in it. And they called it the Commonwealth because it was the guy that put it together, Tom Sparks, wanted to honor Jack Miller, and he has a company in Florida called the Commonwealth. Anyways, our Commonwealth Club, we had been to a number of real estate clubs in our day, the four or five of us members, and we said, you know, we don't want and need outside speakers because most of them are just here to flog their course or a book or something, you know. They're just carpetbaggers coming through. And so what we're going to have this club about is we're going to make promises to each other that, hey, we're going to be doing this and this and this, and we're going to apply the principles that we learned from Jack's class. And so once a month, we're going to one of us is going to have to give up and talk about his deal. And if he needs help or he wants to know, you know, what to do at this point, and on and on and on. But I think the pressure of standing up and saying, you know something, guys, gee, I'm sorry, I still haven't done a deal yet. That pressure, after a while, is going to cause him to want to do a deal. We'll get things done.
Mm-hmm.
Well, anyways, Barks would, everyone, the guys that were supposed to speak and hadn't done anything, they wouldn't even show up. So all of a sudden, we're expecting Joe to get up and talk, and Joe's not there, can't be seen. And so Sparks would say, hey, Ward, why don't you just, you know, fill in the blanks, I mean, or the time, and give us 10 minutes on your most recent foreclosure deal. Oh, man, that's all I need, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Can't shut that guy up. And so Fullerton had a speaker, somebody from IRS who was scheduled at his club at the last minute and ducked out for whatever reason, doesn't matter. And Jack was looking around furiously now about a week before the scheduled club meeting for a speaker. And he's scraping the bottom of the barrel, and that's when I usually get picked. And so I've never took speech in school. I've never read books on it. I never, it wasn't anything that I thought it was a lightweight type of activity, taking speech. And, you know, and I should be taking calculus since I'm in high school. So he called Sparks, and Sparks says, geez, we don't have outside speakers. And Jack says, well, I mean, give me a name of somebody in your club that maybe won't mind speaking. And he said, well, I don't know. The guy who speaks more than anybody else is this character named Ward Hannigan. So here's his number. You can give him a call. And I tried to turn Jack down. I said, Jack, look, you know, you're going to blow your meeting if I come up and talk to you. I've never talked to anybody in front of a group like that ever in my life.
Okay, let's hold it right there. We're going to pick up at the next segment, okay? All right. We've been speaking with Ward Hannigan, and we'll continue this on the next segment.
You've been listening to the Norris Group Real Estate Radio Show. For more information on the Norris Group, please visit www.thenorrisgroup.com.